The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
And he is worthy to be praised. I say he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We're reading from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 26, talking about the blessed life, a life in which the favor of God is chasing you down, amen, going before you, going behind you, surrounding you with his goodness, with his grace and his favor. Genesis chapter 26, and we're finishing up this series today by reading verses 26 through 35. And it begins this way. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzaz, his personal advisor, and Philcal, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you." So we said, "There ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you, but always treated you well and sent you away peacefully. And now you are blessed by the Lord." Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early in the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. That day, somebody say that day. That day. Come on, say it again. Say that day. That day. Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We found water." He called it Sheba, and this day the name of the town has been Beersheba. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief to the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. Father, we thank you for your word today, and God, we recognize that in our own mind we cannot understand it. We need your help, God. We need your Holy Spirit to impart to us those principles, God, and those ideas, God, that you want us to have, God. Father, we need you this morning, God, to once again inspire us to guide and direct us in your truth. And Father, you said that your truth, God, shall set us free. Help us to find the freedom that is in your word, oh God, and be empowered by it. We thank you once again for it, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Can everyone say amen? Before you sit down, point to someone and say, "What goes around comes around." Amen. What goes around comes around. How many know that's a true statement? The Bible says we do reap what we sow, right? Whether it's good or bad, whether we sow to the spirit, whether we sow to the flesh. Isaac is one of those "what goes around comes around" type of guys. Actually, he had followed very, very closely in the footsteps of his father, Abraham. And he did that by providence. It wasn't necessarily him making his choice and direction, but the God of the heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God had providentially guided his steps from a young man to this place where we call Rehoboth. It's a resting place. So Isaac is here in this resting place. It's a place where he kind of gathers his thoughts, a place where he is strengthened again in the Lord, a place where he begins to lay down some roots and begins to prosper once again, having cattle and sheep and getting servants. He finds this place called Rehoboth, this resting place. And the Bible says, and you heard it last week, and aren't you glad we have anointed pastors and preachers to come to preach the word of God? Amen. You heard it last week. As Isaac was in Rehoboth, in that place of rest, he heard from the Lord. He had a personal encounter with God. Now, how many of us have lately had a personal encounter with God? Anybody? That's a wonderful thing, to have a personal encounter with God, isn't it? To hear from the Lord yourself. So he has a personal encounter with God, and God says this. He says, "Isaac, I'm going to give you this. I'm a covenant with you, just as I covenant with your father Abraham. I'm going to give you these promises. They are yet to come, but you're going to have promises of lands and sons and daughters." And Isaac gets very excited about this. But the interesting thing about Isaac, he just didn't receive the promise. He just didn't wait on the promise. What Isaac did is he responded to the promise. How did he respond to the promise? How do you respond to promises? Well, this is what he did. Isaac did four things. The first thing he did was he made an altar. In other words, he established a place that he would meet with God. It would be a private place, a place that he would meet daily with God. And at that place, Isaac would do something else. The Bible says that he sought the Lord. In other words, he prayed and he had fellowship with God. He didn't just want the promises of God. He wanted the presence of God. Amen? How many know if you have the presence, you'll have the promise? If you have the promise, you'll have the provision, right? So he's in the place. He's at this altar, and he seeks the Lord. And then Isaac does something else. The Bible says he pitched his tent. In other words, he began to say to himself, this is where you want me, God. This is where I'm going to stay until you say, move me. This is the place of my contentment. This is the place where you're going to prosper me. But he didn't stop there. Isaac continued to dig wells. In other words, Isaac continued to look for opportunities to serve God, to serve his family, to serve that community. How many of you digging wells today? How many of you are digging wells today? Looking for opportunities to serve God. Anybody looking for opportunities to serve God? Amen. I said, anybody looking for opportunities to serve God? Amen. Well, let me show you how you can do it. That was a setup, amen? Yesterday we went out digging wells. And we didn't necessarily know where we were going, but we went to apartment complexes. We went to housing communities. And we handed out over 4,000 of these cards, invite cards. We put in them on doors, and some of us ran into people and prayed for people. It took us 1 hour, just an hour to hand 4,000 of these. That's a big number, isn't it? All these invitations went out yesterday. Why? Because people were responding to the promises and the vision that God has for Christ Chapel Mountaintop. And I'm going to encourage you to do something. Every one of us this morning, if you don't have one of these, you can get one of these at the front desk. And I'm going to encourage you to do something. Next week is one of the most important weeks of the year in the history of any church because it represents Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. That is a day when there are many, many people who will be open to come to church and hear the gospel. And guess what? There is someone that you know. There is someone that lives close to you that needs Jesus Christ. That is not saved, that is going to a real burning hell. How many know that? There are people in our community who are lost without sense of direction, without sense of hope, and without sense of promise. And God is telling us, if you love me, go dig a well. If you love me, partner with me. If you love me, reach out and invite someone to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. How many know that each one of us can do that? I'm putting you on the spot, amen? Matter of fact, ask somebody next to you, say, are you going to do that? Amen? Amen. No, look at them this way and say, you better do that. I want to encourage you to do that. You know, that's part of our life in the Lord. So that's where we left Isaac there. He established an altar. He had begun praying to God. He had pitched his tent. And he continued to dig wells. And something wonderful happened as he did that. Isaac had lived his life. He was living his life really kind of providentially. To live your life providentially means you're just kind of going along. You're letting God direct you. You don't necessarily know how you end up here, how you end up there. You're just kind of going along. But Isaac, something happens in the life of Isaac. And I believe this is what happens. The day in which he heard that promise and he had an encounter, I believe that was a day when he decided that he was going to live a principled life in the Lord, that he was going to follow the agenda of God and the priorities of God. And as he decided that, and I truly believe that happened in his heart, because making an altar, seeking God, pitching your tent, and saying, God, I'm going to walk by your promises, that is a heart change. And I don't know about you, but we often have to have a heart change, don't we? It's just not enough to know about God or to know God. We have to move to the place where we're going to be committed to walking by his principles and by the priorities of the word of God. And when we do that, we see the full blessing of God begin to surround us. So much so that other people begin to notice. Hallelujah. Other people, let me ask you a question. Do people know that God has blessed you? Do people, can people see that God is blessing your life? That's the first thing we see happen in this story. When we first met Isaac, Isaac was going through a troubled time, through a famine. He was in a land that he didn't know, trying to respond to God, and God told him to go to this place called Gerar. And at Gerar, he met this guy, this king named Abimelech. And under Abimelech's kind of authority, Isaac kind of lays down his roots and he begins to prosper. He prospers so much that ultimately Abimelech kicks him out of the land. He says, boy, you got to go. You're too strong for us. You got to leave this place. Isaac probably didn't want to go. He was probably comfortable. But he leaves that place because the king says, you got to go. And now we get to a point in the story while he's at Rehoboth that there is a transition in that king's heart. The Bible says it this way. As Isaac is in Rehoboth, Abimelech and his friends come to Isaac. And Isaac says, why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? And they answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. Tell somebody next to you, say, how you like me now? In other words, in the blessed life, people will recognize God's blessing upon you when you are committed to God. Abimelech recognized that Isaac was now prospering, that he was gaining strength. He recognized that Isaac was now seeing just tremendous blessing in his life. He recognized that this same guy that I kicked out was still being blessed by God. You know what? Sometimes we feel like Isaac, though, don't we? We deep down, we know we're blessed, but we feel like we're kind of living kind of on a shoestring or being manipulated like a puppet. We're not sure why we're being blessed. We're not sure how we're being blessed. We're not even part of getting the blessing. And we just kind of feel like sometimes we're isolated and people kind of have pushed us away. And then all of a sudden, people recognize the blessing upon our lives. How did that happen? I believe that happened because Isaac began living by principle. I think of myself. For most of my life early on, I was living kind of a providential life. I was born in a foreign place. I was adopted and I was brought to this place providentially. Providentially, I was put in a family that was a little bit jacked up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Was not my choice. It was by providence. By providence, I was taken to church. By providence, I should have said I was dragged to church. By providence, I came to relationship with Christ at a mall by providence, not by necessarily my choosing. I was given a full scholarship to a college that I didn't want to go to, and I pledged a fraternity that I never even heard of. I began a career in a field that I didn't even know existed. It was all by providence. I was a shy guy when I was a little fella. I was kind of someone who was kind of off in a corner. People knew who I was, but they did not know me. But something happened in college, especially when I graduated from college. God began dealing in my heart with his priorities for my life. He began dealing with in my heart about my purpose. He began dealing in my heart about why I was created. And I began making a decision that, God, I'm going to follow you not just by providence, but I'm going to follow you by your word, by your principles. I am going to try to live my life according to your commandments for me. And when that happened, I believe something turned in my spirit. How did I know? It was many years later when I went to my high school reunion. It was many years later when I went to my college reunion, when I went to some funerals of friends. And people who knew me back then saw me and they were in awe because they saw the blessing of God. They probably just saw Linda, but they said, boy, he is really blessed. They saw the blessing of God upon me and Linda and my children. They saw me now with a degree. They saw me with a calling. They saw me with a passion of life. They saw my whole countenance change. Why? It changed because I decided to live by principle and not by providence. How are you living this morning? Is it by principle or is it by providence? See, when you live by principle, you partner with God. You walk with God. You hear from him daily. And when you do that, people are going to recognize that you are blessed for the glory of God. They recognize that Isaac is blessed They come alongside him. They recognize that he is blessed. You know, I love a wise man said it this way. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:7. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Ask somebody next to you, who's standing before? The blessed man will be risen up by God for his glory. Amen. And so Abimelech comes with his friends and he sees Isaac. Boy, he's excited about seeing Isaac because he knows that Isaac is blessed. But look what else happens. He comes to Isaac, verse 28-29, and Abimelech says, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you, but always treated you well and sent you away peacefully, and kicked you away peacefully. And now you are blessed by the Lord. Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. See, Abimelech recognizes that Isaac has it going on. Abimelech recognizes that Isaac is now a winner. And if Isaac is a winner, hey, I want to hang out with Isaac. I want to be a part of Isaac's team. I want to be a part of Isaac's little fellowship group. I want to make a pact with Isaac. I want a covenant with Isaac because that dude really has it going on. I want to hang around Isaac. I want to go to the parties with Isaac. I want to go to the club with Isaac because Isaac's got it going on. See, when you are living the real blessed life, how many know it's going to be desired by others around you? Because they're going to see something happening in your life. You know, we have some people right now, they're going through what we call partnership class at Mountaintop. They're going through partnership class at Mountaintop because they sense a commitment to God through this local body. They see God working here, and they want to be a part of what's going on. Amen? They know that we are winners. Hallelujah. How many know we're all winners in Christ? Praise God. And they see that. Listen, some of us, this is the thing. Some of us have to learn how to be winners. You can have Christ, but how many of you know you can still have a losing personality? A losing countenance, right? Let me give you 10 characteristics of a winner very quickly. First of all, winners hang out with winners and not whiners. Ask somebody next to you, are you a winner or whining? We know what I'm talking about, right? Winners approach each day with a winning attitude. Winners speak life and encouragement. Winners take responsibility and don't make a bunch of excuses. Winners don't quit. Winners have a plan. Winners have a purpose. Winners have a destiny. Winners are proactive and not reactive. Winners are sure that at the end they win because they're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Isaac has this winning anointing upon them, the blessing of God. Other people see it, and they want to taste and see that he is good. They want to be a part of what God is doing in his life. And this honestly becomes, I believe, a test for Isaac. Because sometimes this is what we do. Things start happening good with us. And how many know sometimes we can hunker down and don't want nobody else to touch that anointing. To touch that blessing. No, I got to keep this thing. But what happens is Abimelech says, he says, come on, Isaac, let me covenant with you. Let's make an oath together that there will be peace with us. Let there be a covenant together so that we can walk together in fellowship. How many know that God has covenanted with us? Did you know that? It's not the Abrahamic covenant, but it's a covenant that was made through Christ Jesus. When Jesus died upon the cross and he shed his blood for you and me, when we received him by faith through grace, when we received him by grace through faith, God covenanted with us that we might have promises of eternal life and his blessing. How many know that? How many know that's a great covenant? As a matter of fact, that's what happened when Jesus was going into Jerusalem. When Jesus was going into Jerusalem, they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus came not to be blessed, but to bring a blessing to people who did not know him. And likewise, when you and I come to Christ, what happens is that we become in fellowship with him, and we receive the full blessing of Jesus. Abimelech and Isaac sees the blessing upon Isaac, and he wants to be a part of that covenant. And the place they do it is at a place that ultimately Isaac would call Ultimately, Isaac, it was a well. Hold it, sorry for just a second. It was a well that Isaac would call Beersheba. Thank you for the help of the body of Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. At that well, Beersheba, they would covenant together. And Isaac decides to do something. And this is, I believe, is critical. Isaac could have said, Abimelech, you discarded me. Abimelech, you turned your back to me. Abimelech, you just cast me off. Isaac could have looked at Abimelech and said, no, dude, you got yours, I got mine. Dude, you just forgot about me. But Isaac does something. He begins to impart blessing upon Abimelech. He cooks him a meal, and then he ministers peace to him. He cooks him a meal, he ministers peace, and he sends him away blessed. I began to think about it. You know, the blessed life is always ready to impart a blessing to someone else. That's a turning point, I believe, in Isaac's life. See, some of us are like this. We get hurt, we get used, we get abused, and it's hard for us to look back and to bless those who are enemies, to bless those who have forgotten about us. Just last night, Linda and I, we had a wonderful dinner with a young couple. And this young couple, who I considered, yes, a daughter in the Lord, at one time basically decided to go her own way, to do her own thing. We loved her. We tried to counsel her, but she decided to do what she wanted to do. And just recently, she made a call and wanted to come and have fellowship with us and have dinner with us. We could have said, you know what? You made your bed, you lay in it. But you know what? The godly thing to do, the blessed thing to do, the righteous thing to do is to open our arms to those who have hurt us and to bring them back into fellowship, to show them the love of Christ. And so we did that, and God, I believe, is going to honor, and I believe God is going to do something fresh in that relationship. Why? Because we're called to be peacemakers. We're called to be peace givers. We're called to bless other people. We're called to be an extension of the hand of God, to show blessing, not just to be blessed, but to show blessing. So Isaac shows Abimelech blessing. He shows him peace. He begins to minister to him. And look what happens. This is so critical for us. It's our willingness to impart a blessing that creates even more opportunity for blessing. Because the Bible says in verse 32, he says, that day. Somebody say, that day. That day. Come on, say it again. Say, that day. After Isaac had imparted blessing to Abimelech, after he had made peace with him, after he had established a covenant, after he had established an oath, the Bible says that day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, we found water. He called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of that town has been Beersheba. See, when you covenant with God to impart or to be a blessing, God covenants with you to pour out even more blessing. Let me say that again. When you covenant with God to be a blessing, God covenants with you to pour out even more blessing and to open new wells of opportunity. And not just later, but this day. Somebody say this day. This day, there are some of you, this day, you're still waiting for the blessing, but God is telling you, I have a blessing for you this day. As you open up your heart to be an extension of me, to bless others, to be active, digging wells and opportunities for my glory, I will bless you this day. This day, there's a blessing that God has for you. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And very often, we will reap immediately after we have sowed. How many know that? Amen? But let me remind you of something. And all the blessing that Isaac had, he had land, he had flocks, he had servants. Now he has the blessing of a relationship with a former king and former friends. He has favor even with his enemies. How many know that even in all the blessing, trouble will still come? Amen? Matter of fact, we started there, didn't we? When Isaac was in that land, there was a drought in that land. He had trouble. He was blessed by God, but he still had trouble. And now we get to the end of the story. He's reconciled. His enemies have reconciled with him. He has been an extension of God's hand to his enemies. Things are going well, but all of a sudden, trouble shows up again. And it shows up through his kids. Anybody having trouble with your kids? You don't have to raise your hand. Because I know some of you are, amen? Because if they're kids, we're going to have trouble, right? And look what happens to his kids. Yeah, the same man that is being blessed is now going to have trouble with his kids. The Bible says when Esau, who was Isaac's son, was 40 years old, I mean, no matter how old your kids are, they can still get in trouble. When they was 40 years old, he took his wives, Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, Basmath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they were grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. I love how the Word of God ends this way, because it reminds us that even in the blessed life, trouble will come. That's why we need to stay close to God. In the blessed life, there are going to be circumstances that are beyond our control, but we still have to hold on to the hand of God, and we still have to be reminded that we are still blessed. Lynn and I, when we went to Denver last weekend, we missed you guys, but we were on a rocky mountain high because we had no kids with us. It was just her and I enjoying one another, looking at the snow-capped Rockies. We were there in Denver, and we were with good friends and good family. We were at a reception. We were eating wonderful hors d'oeuvres. And even, listen, we woke up on Saturday morning, and we even slept in. How many know that's a blessing, to be able to sleep in? We're having a good time. We did this beautiful wedding of Mr. Chris Walker and Robin, and they got married, Michael Walker's son. What a wonderful wedding. We had a reception with shrimp as hors d'oeuvres. We had filet mignon. We had crab cakes. Guys, I am a blessed man. The next day, we did a baby dedication, and we dedicated two miracle babies to the Lord, babies who weren't supposed to even be born, were born to a family who couldn't even have children. We dedicated to the Lord. We had a blessed time. We got on the airport, and as soon as we landed, the phone rang, and it was one of our kids, trouble. Got home into the house, and another kid runs up from the basement and says, "Hey, guess what, Dad? The basement is flooded. Trouble." Get another phone call. The same family that we dedicate babies, the husband tells the wife, "I want a divorce. Trouble." But how many know? That if you have the blessing of God, God will strengthen you, empower you to get through every situation or trouble that you will face. Though trouble may come, though trouble may knock on your door, if you are in Christ, you are blessed. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that you could ever think or imagine. Trouble often is nothing but a test to strengthen our spiritual muscle for even greater blessing. Listen, Isaac ends up, the story ends up, and he's still in trouble. It reminds me that no matter what you're facing, it could be contention, it could be strife, it could be problems with your finances. No matter what's going on in your life, only thing that we have to do is trust God, be like Isaac. Establish that altar, pray to him, pitch your tent of contentment and say, "God, I am with you. You are with me. I am going to walk this thing out with you, and you're going to get all the glory, honor, and the praise. People are going to recognize you through me. I am going to be a source of blessing, and when trouble comes, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to glorify you anyway, because you're the God of heaven and earth. All things work together for good who love God." The blessed life. Let me encourage you with something. Let's be willing to move on to new areas of our life. Let's be willing, as Craig comes, to work and dig new wells. Let's be willing to covenant continuously with God and to covenant with one another. Let's be committed to be a blessing to one another, to speak words of encouragement to one another. Let's be encouraged to begin that blessed life, if you haven't already, at that same place, which is at the foot of the cross. Parents, let me tell you something. What goes around comes around. And this is the reality. Just like Isaac and Abraham, your kids are going to follow in your steps. What kind of footprint are you leaving for your children? What kind of footprint are you leaving for your family? Is it one in which you're committed to the priorities and the principles of God? Or is it one that's kind of shaky ground? You're just walking along your way providentially, hoping that God will do something wonderful for your life. There's a better way to live. And we need to understand that just as God has dealt with you, he's going to deal with your family. In Christ, he's going to bring you to a new place. He's going to bring you to a Rehoboth, to a resting place. But he's also going to bring you to a place where he's going to ask you to make a greater commitment to him, to serve him, and to live a life that's going to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the blessed life. I want you to stand with me this morning as we end in prayer. His enemies saw that he was blessed. They wanted to have fellowship with him. He became a blessing, an imparting blessing. And though trouble would come, Isaac, we would see later on in his life, he would have families and generations would come even from his lifeline. But once again, Isaac did something. He had a personal encounter with God. And there are some of us this morning who need to have an encounter with God again. We need to hear his voice. We need to have a sense of his presence in our lives. And so this morning, I'd like us to end this series by doing exactly what Isaac did. When Isaac knew that there was a living God that was speaking to him, that was guiding him, that was directing him in all his ways, Isaac set up that altar. In other words, he set up a place where he could meet with God personally. For us, that place can be at home. I know my altar, one of my altars is right at my bedside when I wake up early in the morning. That's a personal altar. We have a family altar around a dinner table. But there's also this thing called a corporate altar where we come together in fellowship, where we come together to meet God collectively. And so this morning, I want to ask us this morning to make, for one last time in this series, an altar together. A place that we will stand in the presence of God, a holy place, a special place. And as we stand right here in the presence of God, I'm going to ask you to just to lift up a prayer and lift up your hands to God and allow God to speak to you in this place. Because some of us have to have a firm understanding that, listen, you are in the place that God wants you and God can use you just where you are. He wants to speak something very special to you and encourage your heart as you move forward in this blessed life. So with that said, I'm going to open this altar right now. If you would just come. If you would just come down to this altar, let's join together with God right in this place. Let's establish this place right now with the Lord. Why don't you come? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, God, for your people who are coming right now. People who recognize the blessing of Christ upon their lives. Father, they might be someone who's coming this morning who doesn't even know you, but they know that they have to take a step of doing something different, oh God, to get to a place of rest and of blessing. So they come, God, not knowing what to do, maybe not knowing what to say, but Father, they come. Father, I thank you for all who are coming. If you would move up closer, if you would, closer to this stage, this altar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all who are coming. Thank you, God, for all who are coming. Hallelujah. Listen, don't be shy. I want everyone, if they can, to walk down to this altar right now. Just take a step out where you are. Take a step out of your comfort zone and come to this place. This is going to be a special place and a special time in your life, but you need to step out and come. Everyone, if they would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come. Just keep on coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for your blessing that is upon us, O Lord, upon this place, upon this church, upon this body, upon each individual, upon each family. Hallelujah. God, these are people who don't want to just walk providentially, but they want to walk, God, in intimacy with you by your principles, oh God, by your word. I thank you for it. Now, I want you to do something. If you're at this altar, just lift your hands just a moment. Just open your hands. Hallelujah. Just right where you are, as Craig is playing, just talk to God. Just right where you are. Just call upon the Lord. Just thank him right now. You can just thank him right now. Thank you for my life, oh God. Thank you for the blessing that's upon me and upon my family. Thank you for bringing me here, oh God. Thank you for my tent, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for my calling. Yes, oh God, thank you, oh God, for the direction that you want to give me. Father, open my ears to hear. Open my eyes to see, oh Lord, what you have for me, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife, my children, oh God. Just thank him right now. Come on, take a moment and thank God. Right where you are, just thank him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to do something right now. As you remain in that posture of prayer. I'm going to ask our elders, I'm going to ask our pastoral staff, I want you to go around, I want you to lay hands on everyone that is here right now. Praying over everyone here. And if you have a specific prayer need this morning, let that elder, that pastor know. If you're here today and you're away from God, and you want salvation, you want to be saved, let that person know that places their hand upon you. All our elders, all our pastoral staff right now, lay hands on people right now in Jesus' name. Do that right now. Hallelujah. Pray blessing upon their lives right now. Thank you, God. Father, I pray blessing.